Peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter of James, chapter 1, beginning with the second verse. This is our second lesson for today. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, you may have missed the big news about NBA superstar Kevin Durant. And if you missed it, or even if you don't know who Kevin Durant is, that's okay. I don't expect most of you to know. The big news I'm talking about, well, I'm not talking about how he donated $1 million to the relief efforts in Oklahoma. But the other reason why he's been in the news the past couple weeks. He finally finished the tattoo on his back. Yes, that's news in today's world. This tattoo consists of many parts, and about a third of his back on a 6'9 frame is a Bible passage, opposite of a picture of Jesus. The Bible passage that Kevin Durant chose to get permanently inscribed on his body, the first three verses of our text for today. Maybe not the first choice I would have thought of, perhaps because it doesn't even mention Christ and his work of salvation. Plus, Durant chose to get this passage described in his body using a translation called the Message, which is more of a paraphrase than a translation. Follow along with the accurate translation of the NIV as I read the translation from the Message and see how that word is changed. Says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well equipped, not deficient in any way. So according to that translation, what are we supposed to do when we face trials or difficulties? Well, we let our faith life, we let our life get to work. We work hard. And we don't try to back out of anything. Is that what James said? Is that his point? That's what the world wants to think. And this translation leads into it. And that's why an author who wrote about Durant's tattoo says that this passage is a reminder of the importance of sticking to one's principles in difficult times. Sticking to one's principles? Is that what James is saying? That's what the world wants to do. When the world faces hardships and difficulties, they turn first to themselves, to their own power, to their own abilities. They think that doing what they think is right will help them get through difficult times. But that's hardly James' point. Rather, James is telling us that when we face troubles and hardships, it is our faith in Jesus Christ that lifts us up. Today we see that blessed are those who persevere under trials. So we can rejoice in our trials and we trust in the Lord's power. In the first words of our text, James says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We all face trials of many kinds. It's a trouble, it's a hardship, it's a difficulty. It's a result of living in this sin-filled world. Perhaps it's a health issue. Maybe you're sick. Or a loved one has cancer or some other disease or some other medical, unknown medical issue that you're just wondering what exactly it is and if everything is going to be okay. Maybe it's financial woes. You're having trouble making ends meet and you don't know how you're going to pay the next round of bills. Maybe it's family issues. There's been a fallout between some members of your family or you're having trouble raising your kids. Perhaps it's issues at work or school with friends or co-workers. We all face troubles of many kinds. It could be any number of certain things. Some of them seem relatively minor and unimportant. Others consume your whole life and thinking. Some are about you. Some troubles and hardships are about those you love. And no one really likes to face trials and hardships. No one really wants to suffer and go through difficulties. And yet James says that we can consider them pure joy. That's something we usually don't do. No one really rejoices when we go through a hard time in our life. Instead, what do? We usually whine and complain. We wonder why God is allowing this to happen. Why is this happening to me? Why doesn't God take away all my problems? We ask. And, of course, we worry. We wonder what's going to happen. Is everything going to turn out to be okay? One of the last things we do is rejoice and have joy in our trials and hardships. And that's exactly what James tells us that we should do. So if he tells us that, well then, he must give us a reason why. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Whenever we face trials, our faith is put to the test. We have to ask ourselves and answer the question, what are we going to do? Are we going to whine and complain? Are we going to question God? Are we going to put our trust in our own gifts and abilities to get us out of these problems? Are we going to trust in worldly wisdom? Or are you going to completely rely on God? Are you going to put His trust in His power and promise? Our trials test our faith. Therefore, our trials result in being a blessing to us. For when we face trials, as Christians, we know that there is only one who can help us. So when we face trials, we turn to the only one who can help us, God. And we turn to Him in His Word. We hear about everything He has done for us and everything He has promised us. And in His Word, He assures us. In His Word, He comforts us with stories of His love and power. We read verses such as, "Never will I leave you or forsake you," or "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And when we hear those stories of power, when we hear those promises, when we hear that gospel, the Holy Spirit is working faith, strengthening that faith in our hearts. Our doubts, our fears, our worries are removed. So our trials strengthen our faith, and our faith becomes more mature. And so, we can rejoice in our trials. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to have joy in trials. It's hard to rejoice when you're going through difficulties and hardships. It takes a strong faith. It takes a lot of spiritual wisdom. And so we pray. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, James says. God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Prayer is an act of faith. When we pray, we are saying that this God who we are praying to not only hears our prayers, but he also has the power to do something about it. And that God promises to answer them. So we pray knowing those power and promises of God. We know that God is the one who gives us all things. He gives to us all that we need for our daily life. He has always given to us and he always will give to us. He also gives to us generously, as James says. Gives to us more than we need, more than we want, even sometimes more than we ask. He certainly gives us more than we deserve. For he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. But he gave up his one and only Son to suffer and die so that we might have the gift of salvation. And finally, he gives without finding fault. Doesn't hold our sins against us. There is no prayer that we can ask that seems too petty to God or seemingly too unimportant or too great to answer. God will give us a stronger faith so that we may find joy in our trials. And so we pray to God. We turn to his word and we trust his power. But sadly, turning to God and trusting his power is often one of the last things we do. Many times we first turn to ourselves. We turn to our own power and our know-how. When we suffer, it's the first thing we often think of. Well, what do I have to do? What can I do to make all these troubles and hardships go away? Well, I'm not exactly sure why Durant had that tattoo on his back and why he chose that passage. But that one author who wrote about it, that's exactly what he thinks. What can we do to get through difficult times? I can take care of it myself, we say. And if that fails, well then we turn to something else. We maybe turn to doctors or other medical professionals, or maybe financial advisors or someone who might give us any help in some way, shape, or form. And we fail to realize that when they help us, it's not they who are helping us, but it's really God who gives them the power, the gifts, and those abilities. And finally, if all else fails, well then maybe we will turn to God. Maybe then we will consider his power. Perhaps we should do that first. After all, consider his power. Look at the lessons for today. Consider the first lesson, for example, the fall of Jericho. The Israelites faced this big fortified city with high walls that weren't easily going to come down, that wasn't going to easily be destroyed. And yet God said, I'm going to give you that city. All you have to do is march around the city once for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they're to march around it 7 times. And after the 7th time, they're to shout and to blow some trumpets, and they'll have a city. And that's exactly what happened when the 7th time they shouted, the trumpets blazed, and the walls came tumbling down. Why? Is there some scientific explanation that the sound waves with the shouts and the trumpets combined together and knocked down this huge wall? No. It wasn't because of their power and might, but only because of the Lord's power and might. That is why, as the wall came down, Joshua told the Israelites, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The Lord did it. Or consider our gospel for today. There was a centurion, a Roman military commander, who had a servant who was sick. When he sent word to Jesus to have him heal his servant, he knew Jesus had the power to heal him. So Jesus started making his way to the centurion's house, and the centurion sent word saying, "No, you don't have to come to my house. I am not worthy for you to enter my house." The centurion knew that Jesus didn't have to see his servant. All Jesus had to do was say the word, and he'd be healed. And that's exactly what Jesus did. When the servants returned, they found the centurion's servant completely fine. Except Jesus didn't do or say anything. Jesus healed that servant without doing anything, without seeing him, without saying anything. That's the power of the Lord. A power we see throughout the Bible. We see at the beginning, when God created the world, by just His voice, everything that is came into being by His Word. We see that power by God preserving His creation, making it run exactly how He wants to. We see that power throughout the Old Testament, from the parting of the Red Sea to the parting of the Jordan River, to defeating enemies in the wilderness and the Egyptians, to defeating enemies in Canaan, like the city of Jericho. We see His power throughout the New Testament in Jesus, performing miracles, changing water into wine, walking on water, or making the wind and the waves obey Him. From healing diseases to casting out demons, we see this power again and again. We even see this power in His death. For on that cross, Jesus did that only a God-man can do. On that cross, He took all our sins upon Himself. He became guilty of everything we have done and was forsaken by His Father. And then, after He became sin for us, He gave us His perfect life. He gave us His holiness. Jesus proved He has power over sin. And 3 days later, He proved His power over death and the devil by rising from the dead. That is the power of our Lord. Think about that power. If God created the world, if God takes care of the world, if He has power over all people, if He has power over all diseases, then He certainly has power over everything else. If He has power over things that cause death, then He certainly has power over death itself. Whatever trials you face, God has power over it. The hardships, the difficulties, the family issues, the medical problems, the financial woes. God has power over them all and controls them all. And if it is His will, He will take care of it. And no matter what happens, whether it continues in your life or God takes it away, you know that He will do it out of love for you, for your benefit. We know that no matter what happens, In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And we know that those who persevere will join Him in eternal life. As we read in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." Trials test our faith. And when our faith is tested, we turn to God and are strengthened through His gospel. He leads us to persevere to the end. And when we persevere to the end, He gives us the victorious crown of eternal life that He promises to all His believers. So unlike the people of the world, when we face trials, there's no reason to whine or complain. No reason to trust in yourself and your own abilities or principles. There's no need to worry. For God has power over all things and promises to use that power for our benefit. And so we rejoice. We rejoice in all things. Yes, we rejoice even in our trials and difficulties. For you know that as you turn to the Word, through them God will strengthen your faith. He will lead you to persevere to the end. Well, He will give you that crown of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.